transition to the pride of Northwest Catholic High School in beautiful West Hartford, Connecticut, and that is Mike Golic Jr. Mike, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, I appreciate the introduction, the high school introduction. This feels like the guys on Sunday Night Football shouting out the old stomping ground.
I grew up in Enfield. That's why I can do it. But I was out of there long before you were born. So, well, first of all, I want to start with the opportunity to now take over this afternoon drive slot for you. And you've got a terrific partner to work with that really knows not just the WNBA, but also has a deep knowledge of and how to analyze the NBA. How anxious are you to get this thing started, and how excited are you by it?
Really excited. It's a tremendous opportunity, and I think one that Chiney and I have both talked a lot about together to be two, you know, young voices that they're turning over the keys to this time slot every day on here. It's an honor, and it's something that we take pretty seriously, but one that we're naturally just going to have fun with. She's someone that I've been able to have a relationship with both professionally. We've done radio together in the crack of dawn before from 4 to 6 a.m. when she was around there doing morning sports center hits, and just gotten to know each other outside of this, you know, through all the different events that we're all at together. And like you said, what a gifted analyst. Like, you rarely meet people that are college players of the year, number one overall draft picks, WNBA all-stars, that are able to so easily relate the game to the rest of us, to people that haven't played at a high level like that. And so with that as her background, knowing that, with both of our shared backgrounds as college athletes at big-time schools, we're just looking forward to kind of a place where, all right, we can come and have a comfortable conversation. She's always full of fun ideas that we're going to be able to have and present in the afternoon in that time slot. But we both care a lot about this. Like, we've been at this maybe not as long as everybody else, but sports are something that mean a lot to us, and we're excited to give another generation a voice in that sphere.
And but you won't have that Stanford Notre Dame game to argue over this year.
I know. I was going to say that's the tough one in all this. We're going to have our first easy show wager in the middle of all this. And growing up around my dad, the one thing I know is if you got a chance to wager on something, you usually do it. And if your last name's Golic, you usually find a way to lose that wager and end up dressed up like Kim Kardashian. It's just the way the ball bounces for us, apparently.
You mentioned being on the early morning hours. My brother listened to you many times driving into work in the early morning hours. It's something I've talked about in radio. In old radio, you would have somebody doing the 10 to 2 shift overnight, somebody doing the 2 to 6, what we call the graveyard shift, and people would get better at that job and they would move up. How important was it for you to cut your teeth during those hours to help improve you as someone on the air?
Oh, it's such a blessing. I mean, at that point, I was just craving being in front of a mic every day. Like you just said, you know how different it is when you get reps at something consistently. And that's like the old football trope in me, being an offensive lineman. You had to do something 20,000 times before you felt comfortable doing it out on the field when it really mattered. And so I was lucky, A, to be doing it and be in front of a mic every day, and also be doing it early enough to where my bosses weren't always listening because they weren't always up that early. And so I got to make mistakes through the course of that, and I got to try different things out. And just going through that and staying consistent and trying to tinker with the process, you could feel yourself get better, which is like the coolest thing ever. And everyone tells you getting into this. Reps, reps, reps. And it really did pay huge dividends. I am so thankful for my time there. First and last, it was a ton of fun to do. And I was fortunate to have a lot of great producers that cared just as much about it.
And that's a big part of it, too. The producer makes a tremendous difference in what you're able to do. My broadcast partner for Penn State football is Jack Ham, and of course he played for Chuck Knoll, and Chuck Knoll always had a saying when somebody was getting near the end of their career, he said, it's time to get on with your life's work. For you, obviously you gave it a shot at everything, the NFL, Canadian, I mean, you know, arena, whatever it may be. When did you start thinking that this might be something you'd want to do, and did your father play an influence in that thought process?
Well, he played an influence in it by, you know, being someone who I always saw a lot of myself in. I think me and my dad always, I grew up thinking had really similar personalities, and I always wanted to be my dad. Like, that was all I really knew as a kid, is whatever made him him, I wanted to do. That was play football, and that eventually became, you know, working in sports broadcasting. And so I knew when I was in high school, this is something I was interested in doing, but I wanted to play a lot of football first. I didn't get to play nearly as much as I wanted, but by the end of it, especially that last year, I was going into training camp with the New Orleans Saints in 2015. I had bounced around for 3 years. Like you said, I had been part of a fall experimental league. I'd gone up to Canada. I had been cut twice in the NFL at that point. And I said, all right, I'm going to leave it all out here, try and get the best tape I can. And if that doesn't happen, I have to find a job that wants me a little bit too, because it felt like football might have been trying to send me a message there towards the end. And so after that, it was just that process of, all right, being at peace with what I put into football and the effort that I gave that shot, and understanding you can only control so much because opportunity is a part of it. And I made the most of what I could. It wasn't enough, and that's something that I can live with, I can move on with now, and I've tried to put that same level of effort and intensity into this job.
What's it going to be like working in the afternoons and not having to drive in when there's nobody out there on I-84?
Man, I tell you what, that is going to be the strangest part about all this is, like you said, I haven't known anything but morning wake-up since I started doing this job. That's been my routine, and I'm naturally a night owl. I love staying up and watching the late games in the NBA. I love being able to see what's going on at all hours of the night, and now I get to do that without knowing, oh, well, I just trimmed another hour out of what's already a four-hour night of sleep in a lot of instances here. So it is going to be an adjustment, but one I think I'm ready for. Maybe I'll become a morning workout guy. Maybe I'll read the paper. I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
What does it take, especially for you, when you're putting together a show? And obviously, events dictate what's going to happen in a particular day. Something may happen in the show, and you have to now react to it. But the preparation work that you need to put in, Mike, to then put together what you know will be a successful show because you're set for whatever may happen.
Yeah, I think it's just that you try and put together the framework as best you can. All right, what are the main things that we know are going on in all of this right now that we can try and prepare for? What are the most important things? What does our audience care the most about during this time of year? And then once you've got that, is all right, are there any guests that can help us tell that story better, or can offer some unique insight in that we can plan around? And then from there, it's always, like you said, being nimble enough and being prepared enough. That's been the one thing I've learned, is you never really stop preparing. We've got a Google Doc that lives and breathes all the time for the morning show now. Yep. That's constantly being updated, that I can go ahead, read, and get enough depth of knowledge about all these different things so that if something does break or we feel like something might be coming, you know, the Washington football team and everything that's gone on with them in the last month or so has been a good test of that, is you hear rumblings, and so you're a little extra prepared in that area so that when something happens suddenly, now all of a sudden I can formulate an opinion while I'm delivering this news on the fly. And just kind of like what all the sports leagues are trying to do right now, you build that framework the best you can so that when something comes up, you're good at addressing the problems and finding solutions as you go.
How much does the discipline of being a student athlete, and there has to be great discipline both, I don't care if it's a practice field, classroom, whatever it may be, how much does that discipline help in terms of how you approach this job?
I mean, it is exactly the same. And I joked when I first got into this, it's a bit different because the feedback's not as immediate and it's not as severe, right? If I take the wrong steps and miss a block as an offensive lineman, I am going to know it 30 seconds later because my coach has a very loud voice and a very short temper. No one can yell at me here at work because they got an HR department for that. But that also means that you have to chase down feedback a little bit harder in all this. So you have to learn how to work hard in all of this. But once you do, like you said, it's the exact same. And all of those old habits of, all right, budgeting my time the right way, making sure I still find time during the day to work out and do something physical, because I've found, like my old student athlete life, when I've got a part of my day that has a physical goal, it makes me prioritize all those other parts. When I'm spending time reading and watching film on certain things when it comes to football, when I'm checking out games at night, it makes you more aware of maximizing the rest of your day. And all of that stuff has helped me a ton as I've tried to learn how to work hard in this.
Okay, this will be one where this is called tee up time. When I looked up mess in the dictionary, I saw Washington Football Club, Mike Golic Jr. says.
Oh, my God. I mean, it is the picture definition. I mean, the Washington football team now, we get that announcement after the non-announcement from last week that was clearly maybe trying to run a little bit of a diversion tactic on a Washington Post article that it was going to baptize your organization and its culture pretty well, even though we were told a year ago they have a pretty darn good culture. Maybe not so much. And now you've got the all-too-original choice of the Washington football team as your placeholder because you couldn't come up with something else. And I get the reality that there are copyright things involved in all this. The NFL's got a limited number of names that it's gotten under that. And there are unique challenges. But, man, it just all begets the next thing in all of this. And you start to get into that Jets-Knicks territory where when everything you do is so consistently bad, even the jokes that have reality baked into them are still enough for the rest of us to point and laugh at.
when the Seattle Kraken have a nickname and aren't playing?
I mean, honestly, and a nickname and a logo that people look at, you know, you go, whatever you think about that logo, today you get the ability in Seattle to say, it could be worse. We could just be the Washington football
team. Yes, exactly right. You've looked at what the NFL wants to do and what the Players Association has said about what is going to be an interesting preseason. Now we're going to put the former player hat on you right now because you understand this inside and out in terms of protocols and locker rooms. Is the NFL on the right track with its Players Association as to how to handle the preseason?
Yes, I believe so. And the thing I was most skeptical about actually got an answer from baseball that made me feel a little bit better about this was for the sports that exist outside of a bubble, you heard the NFL say after 2 weeks, they're going to go to that 5% threshold, meaning as long as your team is below a 5% positivity rate in its testing, they're going to start to test every other day. And I said, well, wait a minute, the NBA is testing inside the bubble, and they're all saying this works really well because we're testing every day. Well, you've had Major League Baseball going through their training and getting ready for opening day tonight in an outdoor environment. They're going to be traveling like the NFL, and they've been doing this every other day outside of the bubble. They've been doing that testing in the same way and have seen really positive results from it. So in seeing that, I go, okay, they must have known and consulted with enough people in this to feel comfortable about that because cost is, you know, the owners complain about money when it comes to this and investing in your players' health and really investing in your league's future. $75 million for testing is a drop in the bucket for these guys and what they know they're going to recoup on the other end of this. So I felt a lot better about the plan that the NFL had put in place, knowing it was co-signed by another league who's also battling these same problems.
Baseball returns tonight. The NBA, NHL, end of next week. What does that do, in your opinion, for the psyche of the country?
I think it's huge. I think it's a necessary relief because we've all felt bogged down at certain points in the last few months. But the other part is people let their foot off the gas pretty quickly in a lot of this over the course of the summer, and we've seen that
yes.
take place. And what I hope doesn't happen is an exhale. I hope it's a reminder, and this happens all the time. Think about if someone's getting ready to lose weight. I was 300 pounds, and I dropped a bunch of weight to get to where I am now. It can go one of two ways where, all right, you lose 10 pounds, and you see the results, and you go, all right, I need to stay on this. I see that it works, and I see what it takes to get here. Or you can exhale and say, all right, I owe myself a reward. Where's that pint of ice cream? And I really hope that America, as the surrounding outside of sports, doesn't dip into that pint of ice cream because the athletes involved have worked very hard and been very diligent. We as a public have to keep trying to match that if we really care about sports as much as we claim.
Both at Notre Dame and in the pros, I probably saw much more of your father's career than you would remember. But when it comes to his radio career, you've been right there. Your father is a great tribute to what great morning radio can be on the sports side. And I know he's transitioning back into doing games. What did you learn from him on the radio side that you apply every single day in your radio job?
There is no substitute for the consistent hard work and being yourself in that situation. When you're on radio, it's a personal medium and you're on there for a long time. And my dad said the first thing he told me was, be yourself. He jokes, you're not smart enough to be anybody else, which is true. But it's also this idea that people come here in a lot of instances, and whatever audio medium we're in now, podcast, wherever I listen to, I want to feel like I'm getting to know the people if I'm going to spend 3 hours with them, 4 hours with them potentially at that point. And so he always did that really well. He was going to tell stories about our family growing up. He was going to talk about my mom and the things that happened to them in the course of that. But he was also going to put in the work on the other end. He was going to make sure that, yeah, he came into this as a 9-year NFL veteran and was going to know a lot about football. But he was also going to make sure he was up to date on what he needed to know about the NBA, about Major League Baseball. And it was the way he applied themselves to those other things that I really saw and absorbed. And when it came time for me to start this, what he really emphasized to be of, all right, how you go about preparing those things. What are some of the tricks along the way of making sure you can maybe mask some of the things that you don't quite know right away? And all of those things built on just the hard work of day after day putting that in are the things that I think he would want to be remembered for, because that's who he was as a player and that's who he became as a broadcaster and as a sports radio host as well.
Great respect for his work, and guess what? Great respect for your work. I really like the work you do. Best of luck with this. I think you're going to be tremendous, and I think everybody's looking forward to it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Looking forward to it as well. Should be a great time.